Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.
Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's me. It's Mr. FSP. I'm going through some technical difficulties right now, but I plan to bring you a very, very good show. I should be riding solo today because Jerry ATM Taylor is, it's his birthday. Wouldn't you know it, that the ATM, the sage, the old guy, the wise one, supposed to be the wise one of the group, his birthday's on today, Cinco de Mayo. So I want to say happy Cinco de Mayo to everybody, and hopefully we'll bring a little flavor and excitement to the show, and you'll enjoy it. If I can get Black the Book, your smells to call in, that'll be great so we can talk. But on this episode of FSP, we will cover the NBA playoffs, the proposed college football Final Four, Miguel Cotto versus Floyd Mayweather Jr., Junior Seau's passing, Terrell Suggs' injury, how it happened, and maybe did the Ravens have a little bit of knowledge of it, you know, of some of his behavior prior to the ending of the NBA draft? I don't know. It's speculative. John Harbaugh's comments about the New England Patriots. I know that happened this week, you know, Wednesday, but, you know, we'll talk about that. We'll hear from John Harbaugh and see exactly what he said. We'll talk about the decline of Tiger Woods. He didn't make the cut, but we're going to hear from him about making the cut, so to speak. And we'll try to get some of the latest sports headlines and mainly talk about baseball when we get to those subject matters. Again, it's me. It's me. It's Mr. FSP. I'm ready to rock and roll. I hope you are as well. So, with that being said, let's hear about the Kentucky Derby. Ready? Let's go.
My pick is Union Rags for trainer Michael Matz, who just 6 years ago brought in the much-beloved but ill-fated Barbaro to win the Run for the Roses. The reason I like him is he's tactical. He'll sit off the early pace, he'll make that big sweeping move, and he'll take him down in the stretch. And for a race that's been so unpredictable in recent years, I think this year it's very predictable. Union Rags.
So I'm not a big racing guy. I'm not a horse guy. I don't follow it all the time. That's Jerry's job to do that. But Union Rags supposedly is the horse to beat. Over here where I am, there's always, you know, information and scouting about the race and saying in so many years there hasn't been a Triple Crown winner. And typically the horse that wins the Kentucky Derby usually goes on to the Preakness and wins, but then comes up short on the final race. It's May 5th. It's the first Saturday of the month. And usually, you know, you got the little folks wearing their Kentucky best. And they're rooting for specific horses, and the favorite, 9 times out of 10, wins, and then gets everyone's hopes up. Like I said, goes to the Preakness and does well, wins, but then fails at the final race. So my question, I guess, is will the favorite, the Rags, can't remember the first name, I just heard it right off the top of my head, will it be able to win? Like I said, I don't follow horses. I like them, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Again, I wish I had Jerry on the line so we could chat it up a bit about it, but I don't. So it is what it is. Let's move on. Oh, how forgetful of me. If you want to call in and you want to talk about any of the subject matters that we got going on, you can dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. What will I go to next? We'll save boxing for a little later. Let's talk about Tiger Woods. Okay. Tiger Woods, how should I say this? Eldridge Woods, he had a great buildup. And I'm going to use something that Colin Cowherd said on Sports Nation to the Masters. He won a tournament. Everybody thought, oh, here comes Tiger. First day he looked well in the Masters, and then he tapered off and ended up finishing 40th out of the field at the Masters. Well, Tiger has not done so hot, and in his latest tournament, he decided not to talk to the media. He decided to answer questions from the fans via Twitter and Skype. He did a video, and I believe he posted it on YouTube. And some people say that that's being rude, that's being snotty, that's being, a difficult person to deal with. The media pretty much is labeled this guy as somebody that it's out of touch. He thinks he's an elitist, but he's no longer an elite athlete. Tiger is someone we like to talk about on the show because he's pretty much he's a hot topic in or out of tournaments. So when I look at the situation, I think Tiger has decided, well, you know what? He's had enough of these questions about his abilities and when he's going to be able to do this and do that and comparing him to Jack Nicholson and hoping that he'll get a Masters, whatever. And he's probably just had enough of it. And with that being said, he's most likely decided the best thing for him to do is to be quiet. Don't be the center of attention in the golfing world and get his stroke back. Is that the best thing? I don't know. I really don't think so, because Tiger Woods, over the past 13 years or so, has been a figure that seemingly thrived on the spotlight and the attention. Again, we go all the way back to his divorce or the discovery of his wife and him crashing the SUV and her breaking the window out with a golf club and all that as being the downfall of Tiger Woods. And when it became a situation where Tiger Woods just could not handle the juggling of the women and things of that nature. I'm saying this to say that Tiger, he thrived on the stress. Some people, and I think I'm one of them, they react and behave better under stress where they have to make snap decisions than when they have to actually sit down and think things through. Now, I'm cerebral sometimes. I'm very aggressive and very straight to the point, matter of fact, in a lot more cases. I think Tiger's that way as well. If he just has his club and he lost Stevie, he didn't lose him, he fired him or parted ways, whatever it was. Had he had just that calmness in his life, he didn't need to change his stroke. He didn't need to change his putting style. And he tweaked with something that was already good. But 9 times out of 10, it was Tiger Woods and his psyche that he hurt. So let's hear from Tiger real quick.
All has to do with my setup. If I get over the golf ball and I feel uncomfortable, I hit it great. It's just that I, you know, you get out there and I want to get comfortable, and I follow my old stuff, and I hit it awful. Obviously, it's frustration. You know, I finished, 12 back of the lead, and I'm not playing a weekend where I have a chance to compete for a title.
See, that's Tiger right there. He's pointing out his game, his flaws, things of that nature. But is he done? That's my question. I want to open the phone lines right now. Again, if you want to call in, the number's 347-637-3220. Again, 347-637-3220. We have a caller from the 848. We'll bring him on the air real quick. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Please state your name.
This happens to be JT ATM.
ATM, ATM, ATM. Happy birthday, old guy.
Thanks a lot, man. And to all my Mexican brethren, happy Cinco de Mayo.
You ain't got to be Mexican to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. You ain't got, but, you know, I got a little Latin. Everybody got a little Latin in them somewhere. Maybe. I don't know. I opened up the show talking about one of your favorite topics, and since I don't have that much knowledge about it, I didn't go too far with it. But I was talking about the Kentucky Derby.
Okay.
And I played a soundbite of the favorite, which is, I can't get the first name, but something Rags. I think it's Poor Man Rags or something like that.
Union Rags.
Union Rags. See, I knew you knew. I knew you knew. And I was talking about how 9 times out of 10, the favorite at the Kentucky Derby wins, 9 times out of 10, and then goes on to the Preakness and either does well or wins, but fails at the last race to make the trifecta. So talk to me a little bit about the Kentucky Derby and winning the Triple Crown, and then you can float that back into Tiger Woods and how he has not done so well as of late.
Well, this is probably one of the most competitive in Kentucky Derbies. There is no really clear-cut favorite in here. You have quite naturally who you're talking about, Union Rags. You also have who happens to be the favorite, Bodie Meister happens to be the favorite, who's trained by Bob Baffert, who's a world-renowned trainer in the thoroughbred industry. But in my opinion, the Kentucky Derby is wide, wide open. I don't think the favorite is going to win it. He's got a very strong chance, but you got several horses in here. You got 20 horses all together, so you got a wide range of horses to gather in, but there's only a select few, in my opinion, that could win this race. Gemologist happens to be one. He's the number 15 horse. Gemologist is 6-1. Hanson is 14-1, who I like a lot. I don't know if he can get the distance, a mile and a quarter, but I like Hanson a lot. He's a solid horse. Bodie Meister is another one we talked about, and also the first horse you talked about, which was Union Rags, who a lot of people have jumped on. I don't like him. I don't think he can get the distance. I think he's maxed out. This race is a mile and a quarter. I think he's maxed out between a mile and a sixteenth, a mile and an eighth. If I was to be a betting man, and the horse that I see has the greater upside going into this race, I would go with the 4-1 Bodie Meister, who happens to be the number 6 horse, who happens to be, like I said, trained by Bob Baffert. He seems like that horse, the further you run, the better he runs. So I would put my money on Bodie Meister and put the other horses behind him, Union Rags, Hanson, Gemologist, and you may be talking about some long shots, because this is a very good betting race for handicappers, because there's always at least one horse that is extremely long odds that happens to fall into the either the exacta or the trifecta, which is picking the first three horses, 1, 2, 3, or even the superfecta, which is picking the first four horses, 1 through 4. The most money you can gain is if you pick the superfecta and you happen to pick the right combination. You can gather a lot of money, thousands of dollars, to tell you the truth, because in this type of race with a big field, the bigger the field, the better the payoff. So that's my assessment of it. I like Bodie Monster, Dynamite Trainer, Dynamite Jockey, and Mike Smith, who's a Hall of Fame jockey, and Bob Baffert, who's a Hall of Fame trainer too. So he may not win, but
who do you put your money on?
If I was going to put my money on, from what I'm looking at, in fact, I'm looking at the racing form, I'm looking at the past performances of each horse as we speak, and if I was to put my money on it, I would put my money on Bodie Meister. He's 4-1. He probably won't be 4-1 when the race goes off. He'll probably be between 2-1 and 3-1, somewhere around there. 2-1 pays $6 on a $2 bet. 3-1 pays $8 on a $2 bet. Because the field is big and the money's going to be all over the place, like I said, I think he's going to be a soft favorite. I don't think he's going to be a real hard favorite. Being even money or 8-5, eight to five pays $5. Even money pays $4 on a $2 bet. So I think my money would go on Bodie Meister with a few horses behind him, and then go from there.
All right. Well, like I said when I opened up the show, you are the racing guru. You claim you're not going to bet, but I believe you will, since you're looking at the betting slip right now.
And I feel lucky. I feel lucky. This happens to be my birthday. And I feel lucky. I mean, there's so many things going on today. My birthday's today, Cinco de Mayo, Kentucky Derby. Why the hell not?
Oh, Lord. Sure you ain't inebriated already. I still
no,
love you,
but it's coming. It's coming.
I bet it is. Be able to do the show tomorrow, guys. Just be able to do the show tomorrow. Okay. At any rate, I know you have some things to talk about on Tiger Woods, but I understand if you want to sidestep it so we can get to a couple more important subject matters. It is Cinco de Mayo. It is so many things going on. You have UFC fights going on tonight. But the big fight that everybody wants to talk about now is Miguel Cotto versus Floyd Mayweather Jr. And I got a lot of sound bites here that I'm going to play. But only one of them's from Cotto. Seems as though Cotto has not been doing a lot of talking, other than the fact of saying that this is a fight that Mayweather really doesn't think. I mean, it's a fight that Mayweather should not have taken. But here's Cotto on the fight itself.
I had a tremendous camp in Orlando. I feel pretty good, and I pretty trust in Pedro. I trust in every member of my team. I trust, most importantly, in myself. All the work we made in Orlando, all the work we made here in Las Vegas, going to get us the victory on Saturday night.
So that's Miguel Cotto speaking on the fact that he's very confident in what's going to happen tonight when he fights Floyd Mayweather Jr. Now, do I think he's going to beat him? No. Do I want him to beat him? Yes. But this is Floyd talking about this fight.
Approaching this fight, I have to be at my best. I have to stay focused, and, like I said, and dedicate myself to my craft, which is boxing. I'm never going to go out there and overlook no fighter. But the main thing, like I said before, is about entertainment. I mean, this is a fight that the fans must come out and see. You can't miss this. He's going to be at his best. I'm going to be at my best.
So, you know, that sounds to me like Floyd's promoting the fight, not like Floyd is, you know, underconfident or anything like that. It's just him promoting the fight. I'm going to play one more soundbite for you, Jerry, before I let you talk, and then I got one more after that. But here's Floyd on ranking this fight in his career and where it lands in his career.
In the top five, I must say, or the top ten. This guy, he's solid. What else? He's tough. He's solid. And his, you know, the Puerto Rican background of in boxing is truly amazing.
that wasn't Floyd. It said it was, it's supposed to be Floyd Mayweather, but that wasn't Floyd Mayweather. But talk to me a little bit about this fight. How do you see it going? And do you think it's the fight, like Mayweather said, everybody wants to see?
Well, let me put it this way. What bothers me is this, and it bothers me in a, in a cautious way. You see here, Mayweather talking like he always does, confidently like he always does. You don't hear a peep from Cotto. That worries me, because the fact is, a man's not saying anything, meaning he's focused. He's got something to prove. He's got something that no one expects to bring to Mayweather. And
Mayweather, not Mayweather.
Excuse me, Mayweather. And that bothers me. I think this kid is going to bring the fight to Mayweather, and there may be a surprise in here, because he's not, like I said, he's not talking like a lot of other fighters respond to whatever's been said about him. He's not talking. That bothers me. Whenever you have a fighter not saying anything, regardless of what's being said or how it's being said, that means that that guy is focused. He doesn't. He's not worried about any other thing but sitting in the ring and his opponent sitting in front of him and taking apart his opponent any way he possibly can. So I'm looking forward to this fight. I just got invited to go watch this fight, and I may take the friend up on it, depending on what else is going to be offered in refreshments. but I'm looking forward to this fight, because I think Mayweather is going to be in for a surprise. He may have one of the toughest fights that he's ever had. I could be wrong. Anytime, and I'm lengthening this, what your question is, but anytime everyone is expecting the expecting what everyone thinks is going to happen, the unexpected happens. And I'm thinking in this fight, they think Mayweather just took this fight just because he couldn't get the real fight with Pacquiao, and this is just a bridge fight. That is the wrong tack to take from the outside. I think this guy is going to bring something to Mayweather, and it's going to surprise a few people.
Well, okay, then lately, Mayweather's fights have not gone the distance. It's like he's out to prove something.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think this fight goes past the 10th round?
Yes. I think this kid, you know, let me put it this way. I think this camp has studied Mayweather just like any other fight that studied the opposite fighter. But I think these guys did their homework on what makes this guy tick. I'm talking about Mayweather. And I think they're going to try to take him the distance. I think they're going to try to see if he can last 12 rounds and see what happens, take their chances going the distance of the fight rather than what a lot of other fighters have done. So I think this should be an interesting fight. I'm going to watch this fight very enthusiastically, because I'm not saying Mayweather's going to get beat, but don't be surprised if it happens. Oh, that's all I can say.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you're able to be conscious, since you're going to enjoy Cinco de Mayo and stuff,
damn
we'll
right.
see. But we got Jerry. Jerry, we got Black on the line.
My man, Black.
What are your thoughts? And welcome to the program.
Feliz Navidad, Cinco de Mayo.
Happy
que
Christmas
pasa?
And happy. Oh my gosh. Go
que
ahead.
Pasa, amigo.
muy bien, muchacho. Muy bien.
Hey. This is America. America. We speak English.
No, you're in Germany. We're in America.
Silencio la boca, amigo. Silencio la boca.
Ferme la bouche, s'il vous plaît. Now, yeah, I go French on you.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you going French, man? We speak in Spanish, and you going French. What's up with that?
I don't know. I just did it.
That's how screwed up you are out in that foreign land.
What is all this Mayweather Cotto talk, man? Why haven't I heard a peep about my boy, the Mexican, Cinco de Mayo, in Mexico, my boy Canelo Alvarez versus Sugar Shane Mosley?
I don't have no sound bites. I don't have any sound bites for that fight.
You don't need any sound bites for it to talk about it.
Well, I mean, hey.
The 21-year-old sensation from Mexico City. Versus the old head, Sugar Shane Mosley, who's 40.
But it doesn't rank as high as the Cotto Mayweather fight right now. The interest is in that fight. Not saying that that Shane Mosley and your guy isn't a good fight. It might be the better fight, but it's not being hyped up as much. And I would think for good reason, because Shane Mosley promotes Mayweather. And, you know, if people want to see Shane lose, fine. But the money is on Money Mayweather and Cotto. So
he got a nice guarantee for that fight too, $32 million.
So there you go. What is it that you see happening in this fight? Do you actually see Cotto winning, or do you see Mayweather going to a defensive game and taking it the distance and getting a decision? Because I don't think he's going to knock him out. I don't think he's going to stop him.
His issues with the hands, I don't think he can knock out Cotto. Unless he catches Cotto slipping like Ortiz, which I doubt will happen. But I see it going maybe. I think it might go to distance. I got it maybe going to distance. Cotto's a tough cookie. He hasn't been saying anything leading up to this fight. So I'm feeling his focus right now. But, I mean, Mayweather, he's a tough guy, man. Guys, it should be a very interesting fight. I'm out here running things along because I'm actually hosting the fight party later on tonight. So I'm out here doing some ripping and running. So I can't be can't be on too long with you guys.
I got you. So who do you think wins?
I'm going to have to go pound money thing.
You got to go on money. All right.
Got to
go
with the money thing.
For the first time, I'm going to go with Floyd as well.
Oh.
Hopefully I'm wrong, and that ruins this next tidbit we're talking about. Here's Floyd talking about a possible fight with Pac-Man.
You know, Bob Arum is in the way. You know, Bob Arum don't want to make the fight happen. Bob Arum is Manny Pacquiao's promoter, you know, and Floyd Mayweather is Floyd Mayweather's promoter. So, you know, at this particular time, Miguel Cotto is my main focus, you know. When the Manny Pacquiao fight presents itself, then we'll take care of that.
So after Floyd comes out of jail, he says he'll deal with it then. Do you think it's going to be a fight people are going to see at the end of the year, or do you think it's just a fight that's not going to happen? Black.
Black's not there. I think it's definitely a fight people are going to see. It's been hyped up for so long. If it does come to fruition, I think people are going to go to the fight or get the fight pay-per-view on droves, because, like I said, there's been a lot of bantering going back and forth with these guys, and if it does go down, everyone who's interested in boxing and then some is going to be at this fight and to watch this fight.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not interested in the fight anymore.
Oh, my. Really?
I'm not.
You got to be kidding me. Why?
No, I'm serious because...
Oh, I know you're serious. I'm asking you why.
I think it's kind of lost its luster to me because I'm not leaning away from Pac-Man. I'm going to say that quality of opponents, hate to say this, but Floyd Mayweather seemingly has the better quality of opponent that he's been fighting, and whether they're warm-ups or not for Pac-Man, it seems as though he might have the edge on the pack because of the quality of fighter that he's fighting. And I think my cousin just chimed in or called in, and he's had something to say about this, so this is going to suck. But I'm going to bring caller from the 240 on and see what he has to say. Caller from 240, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics.
The negativity, Vic.
You know what time it is, Slim. You know Money Man gonna do his thing. I don't understand what's wrong with you, man. You just hate. That's just
didn't
natural.
I say it was gonna
hate.
Be Micah?
I don't
this
understand.
This is my
man.
Cousin, Mikal Moore, and he's a big Floyd Mayweather fan. He believes he's
no,
all
I'm a
that
big, hold on. I'm a big boxing fan. Okay? And Floyd is boxing right now. He is. He's the best technical boxer out there. Pac-Man, he's a great fighter. I give him that. But if he step in the ring with Mayweather, he's going to get schooled. He's going to get schooled. It's just point blank. It's just plain and simple. And just like tonight, you know, I love Miguel Cotto. I respect him, you know what I'm saying? I think he got a gang of heart, but he going to get stopped tonight. That's just what it's all about.
So you think he had that Mayweather has enough in him to stop Miguel Cotto? What round?
Well, I believe he does have enough to stop him, but he really doesn't have to because Cotto is just not going to catch him. Cotto's not going to catch him. He's going to make Cotto look really, really bad tonight. Say about round four, round five, it's going to get real. It's going to look like a ninth grader fighting a preschooler.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
I'm serious.
Wow. I disagree. I got to disagree on that, man. That's crazy talk. Miguel Cotto is a far better fighter than what you're giving him
listen
credit for.
Listen to what you just said. Listen to what you just said. Fighter. There's
okay,
a difference
boxer.
Between fighter and boxer. No, you were right. You were right on. That is the problem. This is why he will lose tonight. He is not a boxer. He's not.
Okay, Jerry Black, y'all want to say anything to that?
I think it's going to be one hell of a fight. I think Cotto's going to give him more Mayweather more than he can handle.
Hold on, Jerry. Mike, can you turn down your computer in the background?
Yeah.
Thanks, sir. Go ahead, Jerry.
I think he's going to give Mayweather all he can handle. He hasn't spoken a word. That tells me he's focused, doesn't care about what anybody has to say, whether it's Mayweather or anybody who's in Mayweather's camp has to say or the media has to say. He's completely focused on this fight. His camp is completely focused on this fight. And when you have a fighter like that or a boxer, whatever way you want to say it, that's a dangerous person in the ring because you never know where he's coming from because he hasn't expressed where he's coming from or how he's going to approach this fight. I think there's going to be some surprises in this fight. I really do. I'm not saying there's going to be an upset, but Mayweather is going to be tested in this fight.
Okay. Do you agree with Mike's assessment that by round four – is going to look like a ninth grader versus a kindergartner?
Well, no, I just said what I said, and in the beginning of this conversation, before he jumped on, I also said that I think it's going to go to max. I think it's going to go 12 rounds.
Yeah, it's definitely going 12 rounds.
Not if he's whooping him up like a ninth grader on a first grader in the fourth round. It's not going to make it eight more rounds.
See, Vic, this is why. You don't know what you don't know anything about boxing. What I said was he's gonna make him look like a preschooler while he's a ninth grader. What I mean is he's going to outbox him and make him look stupid. I didn't say he was going to knock him out. I didn't say that.
No. I didn't say knock him out. What I'm saying is, by your assessment, if he's going to be making Cotto look so bad that you know in the fourth round you got eight more rounds. the ref is going to end up stopping it before it gets to 10.
No. See, no, not necessarily. Because when you if you watch, you know, some of the fights that Mayweather's done, that's classic him. He does that quite often. He makes the boxer. He takes everything that the fighter that's fighting him wants to do. He takes those things away from him, and then he comes at him with different angles and stuff like that. That's just ridiculous. At the same time, they're not able to hit him. What that does is frustrate him.
So in other words, he's gonna do a defensive game plan, which involves him bobbing and weaving and, you know, taking angles, which I understand, which I get, and trying to pick the guy apart and score points in the round, making it pretty much a 12-round sparring match for him. That's basically what you're saying. And what I'm saying is, if that were the case, by the fourth round, if he's done that much damage to Cotto by the fourth round, the fight's not going to make it 12, because Cotto's not going to sit there and let the guy just continually pick him apart and do all that other mess. He's going to end up trying to make it a slugfest. And if he does that, he's not going to run. I don't think Mayweather's going to run from him, but he's not going to sit there and try to, you know, dodge and move, tap, 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 move and move, because he'll hit more power shots.
Victor, this is the problem. That is the problem. What you just said is the problem. It's why he won't beat him, and it's why your boy Pac won't beat him. They have to make it a fight. He going to come out there in round one, round two, three, four. That's his whole motive. The thing of it is that it will not happen. It'll look like a little bit of sparks going on first round, second round. But those two rounds, Floyd is getting in the groove. He's checking the man out. And by about round three and four, he's going to start taking over. That's how it's going to go. And he could be trying to make it a fight the whole fight. And what's going to happen? He ain't going to catch him. And he's not going to be able to do it. So many have tried.
If that's the case, I really don't want to watch the fight boxing match.
No, we don't want you to watch the fight because you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. I mean, hey, if that's the way you feel about it, I won't. I'm glad I don't have to pay for it. But you know, it's like if I want to see a exhibition boxing match, I'd watch the Olympics. But the deal is, as of late, and this is why I really think you're off on this one, as of late, Mayweather has been trying to give the audience what they want and their money's worth, because he was hearing the boos and the sighs of him just, you know, tap, 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 moving it and winning on the scorecard.
Oh,
and as of late, I think his last three or four fights, he's actually gone out to finish. And he even admitted it. I believe it was after the Ricky Hatton fight, or before the Ricky Hatton fight. That's what the complaint was.
This is nothing new, Victor.
Listen, what I'm saying, I got that. But I think he's going to try to go out there and actually try to knock out a guy that's known for knocking people out and making a very good fight. Hopefully he does that. If he doesn't, then, you know, it's going to be a boring fight to me. It's just going to be a boring fight, and it's going to be like, okay, well, Floyd, see you after you get out of jail.
But that's the thing that you keep mixing and matching the same words. It's a boring fight. You're not looking at a fight. You're looking at a boxing match, and that's the problem.
Well,
and people don't value boxing anymore. They don't. Everybody just want to see everybody just coming in, throwing and swinging and all everybody wants to see.
I got you on that, but the bloodlust thing is what we are nowadays as a society, and UFC has provided that, and that's why a lot of fans are moving from boxing to UFC. But the main point that I'm getting to is Floyd Mayweather, if he is, as you say, boxing, then get in there and have a boxing match with somebody that's going to box with you.
He is.
Don't try. Don't have a boxing match with somebody that's not going to box with you. Don't have a fight with somebody that's going to slug.
What?
And
are you talking? Oh, my God. Yo,
I mean, that's
what I feel. I got to go. Love,
okay.
Peace. Love, peace, and hair grease. Big up, Jerry. Big up, Black. Hey, Black, thanks for all the shout-outs on Twitter. Peace and blessings.
Oh,
y'all crazy.
Shut up, Mike. I mean, that's just the way I feel about it. That's just what I feel. I don't think that, I mean, Floyd Mayweather is the ticket right now, and my cousin did just roll out.
Mm-hmm.
But Floyd Mayweather is the ticket in boxing, as my cousin says. But if he's going to do what my cousin just said, it's going to be a boring fight. It's going to be, okay, why is Floyd sticking and moving and just running around the ring scoring points here and there? I get it. I understand the sweet science of boxing. Don't get me wrong. But for the entertainment value, it becomes, you know, very boring and a waste of time just to see a guy, you know, I'm going to throw, what, 10 blows in a round. I'm going to connect on 6 of them, and then I'm going to defend and move for the rest of the round just to make this guy look stupid. I understand. That's a smart business move. Just as Mayweather said, Mayweather promotes Mayweather, Aaron promotes Pacquiao. So Mayweather has to look out for his own interest by not getting hit and tagged and having a war or a fight. I mean, I understand the difference between a fight and a boxing match. I get that. But the main thing I want folks out there to understand is, if my cousin is correct and it is a very technical fight and Floyd does that, you're going to hear a lot of boos in the crowd. People want to see a fight between him and Cotto because Cotto is a fighter. He can box. He can box, but they want to see a fighter. We got a call from 724, but Jerry, real quick, do you have anything to say on what I said versus my cousin or vice versa?
Well, you're right. I mean, he's going to try to take him apart. Quite naturally, that's what Floyd does. But I don't think Cotto's going to buy into that. I think he's going to just fight his fight. I think he's going to do his fight. Either boxing, fighting, whatever you want to call it, Cotto's going to do what Cotto does in order to get the win. Everything's pretty much supposedly in favor of Mayweather. I think Cotto's determined to turn that around. We'll see what happens.
All right. I think so, too. Black, are you still live with us, or you got us on mute?
Yeah, I'm back now. I had some noise in the background, so I had to mute myself for a while.
Okay, did you hear what my cousin said, and what do you think about that versus what I said?
Yeah, I heard what both of you guys said. Your cousin should have stayed on the line. Very cowardly to roll out, leaving a statement like that and disappearing, but I still think that it would go 12 rounds. I think this is a turning point for Cotto right here.
Mm-hmm.
He had the tough matches with Margarito. I think this will be a turning point for him. If he can put out a great performance tonight, like which I think he will, this should lead to some more epic fights for Cotto coming down
mm-hmm.
the line.
Mm-hmm.
I believe so too, because if Mayweather does what my cousin said and, you know, tap 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 sticks and moves and doesn't really get in there and try to mix it up a little bit, it's going to be a boring fight. You're going to get boos, and it's going to be like, okay, well, go to jail, Floyd. That's just the way I'm looking at it. But we got a call from the 724 on the line, and I didn't get an opportunity to screen, so let's get him on real quick. And I got a quick hang-up button if it's a joke. Caller from the 724, please state your name. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Hey, this is Mike from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
How you doing, Mike?
Pretty good. Hey, I think Cotto has a legitimate chance tonight, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to go back to 2002 when Mayweather fought Jose Luis Castillo, the first fight. And if anybody remembers that fight, that was a highly controversial decision. A lot of people think that Mayweather actually lost that fight, if you remember. And a few things about that fight, I've heard that Cotto is going to try a similar game plan as Castillo had on Mayweather. And also in that fight, Castillo had about 7 to 9 pounds on Mayweather. So I think there's some similarities. I think there's a lot of intangibles, too, that also favor Cotto, like Mayweather, you know, going to jail, this being Cotto's Super Bowl. I mean, this is his Super Bowl. This is just another fight to Mayweather. So I really think Mayweather is vulnerable in this fight. And at the odds at plus 500, I think it's really something to take a look at if you're getting 5-1 in this fight.
Hey, Mike, I remember that Castillo fight. And if Cotto uses those tactics tonight, he should be victorious.
Well, I mean, if you go back that far, I believe that Mayweather has advanced his boxing style. But if Cotto can smother him and do the things that Castillo did, I think you're right. And I believe this is the heaviest that Floyd has been. And this is Cotto's walking around weight at 154 or something like that. So it's pretty much a natural fit for him.
The thing I'm concerned about, though, is this is another fight in Floyd's backyard where he gets to shoot that xylocaine into his hand. This is a very troubling thing for me.
So are you concerned about Floyd or what?
Well, we all know Floyd's documented hand problems, but when you
get
shot up in both hands, you're trying to throw punches, so you're not feeling anything land. I mean, that's definitely an advantage for you.
It's just like having on cement gloves, except you're not weighted with the glove. And I get that. Mike from Pittsburgh, I want to thank you. You have anything else you want to add to that? Because that was a very astute and good observation.
Yeah, just one final question for you guys. I know Cotto has a little bit of weight on him. But who do you think, come fight time, who do you think the bigger fighter in the ring is going to, who do you think is going to look bigger in the ring, Mayweather or Cotto, come fight time?
I believe, and this is Vic speaking, FSP, I believe that Cotto's going to look bigger. I think he's going to actually be a little heavier, even though, again, his walk-around weight is 154. I think Floyd, he has the reach, which is a strange thing to me. They're the same height, but he has like a 3 or 4 inch reach advantage. So I think Cotto's going to use that extra little bit of weight to get in close and kind of lay on Floyd and kind of body him into the corner or on the ropes and do that. That's just my opinion. I'm not sure. Again, this fight can go any way, but what do you think, Jerry?
I think he's going to come in there. Looking the bigger the fighter, like you said, I have to echo what you're saying. His walk around weight is heavier than Mayweather, so I think he's going to be the heavier of the two, and that's going to make a difference. That'll make a difference definitely in this fight.
All right, what do you think, Black?
No, I'm not concerned with that, Mike.
Yes, sir.
What do you think about the undercard, Canelo Moses?
Oh, Mosley has no chance. Maybe like four years ago, I would say yes, but I haven't seen anything from Mosley in a big fight in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. So nothing tells me to even give him a puncher's chance in this fight.
Well, Sugar, you know, hey, Mosley he's lost a step. He's still faster than some boxers, but his footwork is not what it used to be. And he's going to take some punches in this fight. Again, Black, the reason why I said that fight isn't getting hyped up as much is because he's promoting, you know, Golden Boy's promoting the fight. So you don't want a lot of shine on you as an undercard when you know the your money is going to come from the main event. You're going to get paid whether you win or lose the fight, and you're getting paid for Mayweather. Yeah, you want to win the fight. Yeah, you want to win the fight. But if the young kid can come out there and score a victory over him, that just means, okay, well, I got another up-and-coming fighter that just beat me. I can sign him to a major deal and quite possibly get him a fight against Floyd in the near future or in the future. So,
I think of this fight because I think the kid is the next big thing, man.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's just the way I'm looking at it. I don't know. Mike from Pittsburgh, I want to really thank you for calling in and are listening to the show. I'm glad you're listening in, and I hope you're enjoying the show.
I am. And hey, just a final thought, guys.
Sure.
In my opinion, the only way you're ever going to see Mayweather fight Pacquiao is if one of them lose. I think if they keep winning, they're never going to fight. But if one of them loses, it actually might open up the door money-wise for them to fight each other. And that's about all I have. Thanks for the time, guys.
Oh, I appreciate it, and I agree with you 110% on that. Really, I do. I really think that's the situation. If one of them loses a fight, they're going to be forced to fight each other to get the big money and the name back. I honestly think that's the case. So thanks for calling. Hey, stick
Thank
around
you.
In the chat room. Still listen. We're about to talk about some football in a minute. So and baseball. So I'm glad you called in.
I'm not feeling that fight either anymore, too. Like you said,
I mean,
earlier.
That's just the way I feel, dude.
Yeah,
honestly.
That Pacquiao Mayweather. After the foolishness I saw last weekend with Chad Dawson and Bernard Hopkins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not interested in seeing any old fighters anymore.
There you go. Mike from Pittsburgh, very good call. I'm going to transition to baseball real quick before we get to football. The big news out of baseball, other than Albert Pujols hitting .208 and not hitting any home runs, is the fact that Mariano Rivera, the almost sure thing in baseball.
That's the surest thing in baseball. That was the surest thing in baseball. Mariano Rivera in the ninth inning was the most surest thing in baseball.
You're right. Well, I said almost because he's no longer.
It's not almost. That was the surest thing in baseball. There's no almost. That first word you just said, almost, does not count. He was the surest thing that you could possibly have in baseball. If you had a lead, the Yankees had a lead going into the ninth inning, in comes Mo, shut down. Plain and simple, just like a shutdown corner, this was a shutdown pitcher. You can just put it in the books before the books even closed.
Okay, got him like King Kong, 24-hour lockdown. He's the law around here. Well, the report is that Mariano Rivera is out for the rest of the season, torn ACL or Achilles or anti-cruciate ligament.
Not Achilles. What is the problem here today, Vic?
I'm tired. I'm tired, okay?
Achilles is a totally different part
of
the body.
I know. It's near the Achilles is near the foot, and we're talking about the ACL, which is in the knee. But anyway, it's torn, and he feels as though he might return. Some people say, no, he's 42. Don't try to be Jordan and come back after you rehab it and just look awful. Well, here's Curtis Granderson of the New York Yankees on Mariano's return.
Well, obviously he's positive, thinking what's going to be his return back. It's just a matter of when and how long it ends up taking him. He's always been very optimistic, and I don't see this injury changing that mindset by any means.
And in the beginning when Mariano reported it, because if you guys recall, the news was that he was done for the season. And then later on after the game, he was mobbed by all the media. And he said, well, you know, I'm done. I'm not going to finish the season. And, you know, the question was, are you going to retire? And he initially said he didn't know and he was feeling down and stuff like that. But a day or so later, Rivera came back and said, I'm not done. I'm going to come back. So my question to you, Black and Jerry, and to the listeners, should Mario Rivera hang it up and go out like this as opposed to rehabbing, coming back, and possibly having a not-so-glorious return and actually having a bad ending to his career? What do you think, Jerry? I know you're the New Yorker, so talk to me.
There is no way. Him being the superior athlete that he is, him being a determined as he is, and a Hall of Fame, surefire first ballot Hall of Famer in baseball as he is, and the absolutely stud type of world-class athlete Mario Rivera is. True, he tore his ACL. It's going to take about a year, give or take a few months, to rehab and get himself back. There is no doubt in my mind that he's going to become the same type of player that he was for one more year. He had thoughts of retiring this year, but being that this circumstance came around, he's not going out like that. He's going out on his terms. He's going out coming off the mound for the last time in the 2013 season. That's how he's going out. He's going to come back, I believe, just as well as he was when before he got hurt. I really believe that because this is the type of athlete he is, and I think he'll work to make himself whole again, for lack of a better word.
Okay. What's up, Black? What do you think?
Black's going again.
Yeah, he's got us on mute. Honestly, I think this is a situation with Mario. I think that Mario is – I think he's done. I think he should retire. The reason why I think he should retire is because as a closer, you know, it's not just I got to be a strong guy, I got to have a pitch, get me over pitch and stuff like that. It's conditioning and stuff like that. Mario is that good of a closer and athlete. He stays in consummate shape. But I think at his age, he was going to turn 43, I believe, in November, December, or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But to come back and do another full year or maybe two and be at the peak of his game, I think it's not going to happen. I think they need to let Soriano step in and take the job as they have planned, and I guess pass the torch, so to speak. Pass the torch and get Mario out and let him go ahead and go away.
Not so fast,
as he is.
Not so fast, my friend.
Oh, Lord.
Soriano, I know he has experience as a closer,
mm-hmm.
But I do believe that they're going to, just like they did last night, give first dibs to that boy that throws 100 mile an hour, and that's Robertson,
mm-hmm.
who basically shut down a team, struck the team out last night. So I think it's a feeling out process. They're going to see who best deals with it. But last night was Robertson. Tonight's probably going to be Soriano if the Yankees get up and they get into a closer situation in the ninth inning. Let's see who handles it the best, and then they're going to take it from there. But right now it's a feeling out process. I have a feeling that Robertson is going to emerge as the closer for the Yankees.
That's my
opinion.
But whatever the case may be, I think it's time for Mario to just go ahead and rehab, of course, rehab, see if he can do it. But I don't think once spring training comes around and he can't, I think he should just go ahead and let it go. That's just what I think.
You know, him and his ACL, this is what? This is in May.
Mm-hmm.
Spring training is in, what, February?
Yeah.
How many months is that? Yeah, he has plenty of time to rehab. And I can guarantee that once he gets the operation and it's time for his rehab to start, which is pretty close to after he gets operated on. I don't know the time frame with ACLs and rehab. But because of who he is, Mariano Rivera, and he happens to be in probably in the best shape of any 42-year-old around, I think that's going to help in his rehab because of his recovery time. So I think you're going to be surprised. It's not like he's a running back that he has to do a lot of things in order to be able to get on the mound and pitch. I understand that it's whatever knee is. I think it's his right knee. But the point is this. Him being a pitcher versus an everyday player is different, and I think that's an advantage for him. And I think because of who he is, there's no doubt in my mind, if it's just for 1 year, I can almost guarantee that he's going to come back and he'll be the same Mariano. And I'm thinking the Yankees, because he's Mariano, he's one of the big three. What I'm talking about is, well, it used
Jeter.
To be Jeter. It used to be Jeter, Pettit at one point, and Mariano, or Jeter, Posada, and Pettit. I mean, Jeter, Mariano, and Posada. Posada's not there anymore. Jeter's still there, and Mariano's not there. They're going to want Mariano to come back, and plus the fact is, they want Mariano to come back and retire on his terms because of all the work he's put in for the Yankees and all that he's done for the Yankees. They're not going to just throw him away like a player that's shot. Even though he may be shot, they hung on to Jorge Posada last year when Jorge Posada was pretty much done.
A loyalty thing.
I don't like the Yankees, but I can tell you one thing. The Yankees are very loyal to their players, especially the players that have done a lot, like Posada, like Jeter, like especially like Mariano. Mariano is beloved in that organization. I'm not a Yankee fan, but he's beloved. Just like Jeter, he's beloved in that organization. Anything he wants, he'll be able to get. They'll give him the opportunity to come back and leave on his own terms.
Okay. I mean, it is what it is. We'll see what happens in the end. Maybe, maybe not. I hope he doesn't, honestly, because I don't want him to risk tarnishing his image by trying to, you know, come back. But we've got about, 27 minutes left of live air, and I want to go ahead and get into these last two subject matters, one being football. We have a little bit of football news going on. So I'm going to get to them real quick. This week, we learned two things about the Baltimore Ravens. One, their head coach doesn't really think the Patriots are or should be recognized as world champions. And two, Scuggs, Scuggzilla or whatever you want to call him, he can't be playing basketball. He can't be playing about. There needs to be a clause in some of these athletes' contracts not to play other sports.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, Vic.
I know. But let's listen to Jim Harbaugh on the Patriots and their legacy. Then we're going to hear Adam Schefter on Scott Zizzle's injury.
In the end, everything is brought before the light of day. It's all said and done.
The truth always rises.
It does, you know. Yeah. And so what happens is even the thing in New England and the thing in, no matter whether those things had any impact on whether they won their championships or not, they got asterisks now.
Sure.
You know, it's been stained, you know. So to me, it's never worth it. If you're cheating, in the end, you're going to get discredited.
That was Jim Harbaugh on 98 Rock in Baltimore earlier this week. And his comments were honest enough, and I didn't find them offensive. However, Teddy Bruschi and some other former Patriots felt that they were inappropriate enough that Harbaugh actually called them and Twittered and left voice messages for Bruschi and some other folks, and they responded back, and apparently they're all good, but they took offense to those comments. So I think there's going to be a heated game when the Ravens meet up with the Patriots this year in the regular season. Right now, I believe they're 0-4 in the regular season versus the Patriots. But that's that. And let's get to Adam Schefter on Scuggs now. I mean, on Suggs. I keep calling him Scuggs.
Mm-hmm.
On Suggs. And what the Ravens plan to do in his absence?
They're going to have to find a way to generate a pass rush without Terrell Suggs. Now, keep in mind that they lost their defensive coordinator, Chuck Pagano, to the Indianapolis Colts. They were going to be adjusting to a new defensive unit anyway. Somehow, they're going to have to find a way to help replace him.
Well, I think you already drafted one, and Courtney Upshaw. I think you let Courtney Upshaw put his hand back in the dirt and go after the quarterback. It's actually very fortunate, and I honestly think that they knew something prior to drafting Upshaw that led them to make that move. If not, Ozzie Newsome and the Baltimore Ravens are very smart, and they forecast very well, because Upshaw can play inside as well as outside, and in high school and some in college, he put his hands in the dirt and he rushed the quarterback from the end position. And the role that Suggs plays does exactly that. About 70% of the time, he's rushing the quarterback. The other 30%, he's dropping back in coverage. So I think you got a good guy in Upshaw to bring in and plug in automatically. What do you think, Jerry?
I love that pick. I couldn't believe he fell down to the Ravens. I mean, he just fell in the Ravens' lap. And that guy, like I said last week, was going through problems. I wouldn't say problems, but he was not happy sitting in that green room after the first day.
No, he wasn't.
And he was definitely having issues. And Baltimore scuffed him up, I think, was it like the first pick or the second pick in the
second
round?
Second or third pick.
Yeah.
Second or third pick.
Yeah, and he was a happy camper. And let me put it this way, and I said it last week and I'll say it again this week. The guy probably went to the best position. He's probably in the best position and the best team to go and learn play defense. We're one of the best ever to play the game. The linebacker position would be Ray Lewis. He doesn't have Terrell Suggs there anymore because he's hurt, but he still may have his ear. You also have Ed Reed. I mean, you got some wily, experienced veterans and a solid locker room with this kid to keep him in a straight and narrow and to help him learn defense.
Motivated. He's also motivated to prove that he was a first-round draft pick fell to the second round.
Absolutely. So, I mean, he's got that motor worker for him, too. I mean, he's a worker anyway, but now he has an added chip on his shoulder to prove to the first set of teams that didn't take him that you're going to pay for not taking me in the first round, and this is how I'm going to do it. Whatever way he does it, they're going to rue the day that they didn't pick this kid. He's going to have an automatic motor anyway with Ray Lewis motivating him in the defense every time he step on the field. Excellent move by the Baltimore Ravens again by Ozzie Newsome.
All right, do you think, and we lost Black, by the way, do you think that Harbaugh's comments towards the Patriots or him answering the question on 98 Rock in Baltimore, do you think that's going to add fuel to the fire in their game, or do you think it's just something that will never go away as far as Spygate and you know, people thinking that since they haven't won a championship since then, do you think that's something
for one is this. Harbaugh spoke what a lot of people are saying, for one. All right? A lot of people haven't said, for one. I mean, I know he retracted it. They don't have to take away any there's no added incentive for both these teams. Both these teams go at it when they face each other because I would say that there is a heated rivalry unbeknownst to these two teams. They go at each other, and especially in the playoffs. Seems like the Baltimore finds a way to lose in the regular season against the Patriots, and the Patriots find a way to lose against Baltimore in the playoffs. But in this case, Mr. Harbaugh, I think the two Harbaugh brothers are reading too many press clippings, speaking too much. You win a championship, you have the right to speak. Otherwise, shut the hell up, in my opinion. Shut the hell up if you don't know what you're talking about, for one. And you're talking like you've won a championship and that you're on that level. You haven't been on that level. You're trying to get to that championship type level. Until you do, then you need to shut your hell up and stop reading your own press clippings. That's my opinion in that. I understand he's speaking what a lot of people are saying, but he hasn't done anything. You understand what I'm saying?
He may have taken
his team to the playoffs, but he hasn't gotten over the hump. Regardless if the Patriots haven't won a championship, they've been in championship games. They've gone to the Super Bowl. They may not have won since that Spygate thing, but they've at least gone to the Super Bowl. You have not done that, Mr. Harbaugh. So shut the hell up.
Wow. Coming from the, what now, 58-year-old Jerry Taylor on his birthday, he's just telling Mr. Harbaugh, shut the hell up. I like you, John. Come on the show, John, or Jim, it doesn't matter. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to transition real quick. I wanted to talk a little bit about Junior Seau before we move into playoff basketball because we've got about 20 minutes left of live air. Oh, geez. As you know, Junior Seau his death has been ruled a suicide, and the parents are contemplating giving the brain of Junior Seau to the institute that I can't remember the name of the institute that studies athletes' brains, but I know Chris Nowinski, a former pro wrestler who helped found this organization, studies the brain activity and issues of former athletes, wrestlers, football players, and things of that nature for concussions. Now, oddly enough, Junior Seau was never concluded at having a concussion. And he had a long career, and he played very violently, so that's, you know, it's kind of hard to believe, but maybe he didn't, and, you know, maybe there isn't any issue there. But my question to you, Jerry, do you think that that may or may not have something to do with his trying to kill himself or killing himself? And if not, what do you think contributed to it? And it's all speculative. We're not saying these things happen, but this is all speculative. Go ahead.
Well, speculating this, from what I understand, from things I've been hearing, is that he was having financial problems with his restaurant, for one. Quite naturally, him probably having financial problems. He's a football player his whole life was built around football. He loved football more than a lot of football players. I mean, he was one of the more enthusiastic football players. He lived and died football. He's a, how can I say this? He's of the Polynesian descent.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in my opinion, and from what I understand, and I'm not buying into a stereotype, are very macho type of men.
Proud, yeah, very proud.
Yes, and he's not able to do what he loves to do. Things were not working out probably well with his business ventures, and I'm just speculating here, and he was having problems living with that and being out of the game, maybe had depression-type issues. Depression is a deadly, deadly thing for a lot of people. It can go undetected for years or for a lifetime. If it's not addressed, things like this can happen. I'm talking about Junior Seau, talking about Dave Durison, all these guys, besides their ailments or circumstances around, were suffering from depression. And whether you want to believe it or not, both these guys I think couldn't deal with the psychological portion of what they were dealing with. I'm talking about depression, and decided to take this route rather than get some solid help to help them cope with what they were feeling.
Okay. Again, I think that I didn't know about the restaurant issue, but I think that there were a lot of demons probably in Junior's head. I know he had problems with his living girlfriend, and he had some other things going on, but he wrote a nice, loving letter to his ex-wife and to his children a day or so before he actually took his own life. And I'm not saying that should have been a warning sign, because that's just a dad trying to comfort his children. But you never know with people. Junior Seau was a great, great athlete. And I remember having a pair of his shoes. To this day, I think that his Nikes, I forgot the actual name of them, but his Nikes were the best shoes I ever wore, especially when I was, you know, training in football. And for me, they were comfort. I know that's the Nike thing, but he endorsed them. And he was the heart and soul of the San Diego Chargers, even with Stan Humphries and what's the goddamn running back's name? I forgot his name. I just had it on top of my head as you were talking. And then he went to the Patriots, and Belichick said some good things about him as well. So may his soul rest in peace. And if it is found that he had some issues with concussion, it's going to bring up that you know, that conversation again. The Bounty Gate is going to be, hey, you guys are doing this stuff, and look what's happening to some of these players. We got to protect the players even more. So I'm just saying that might be one of the situations. But let's move on. We got Black back. Try to bring him on real quick before we get into some pro basketball. Black, is that you, my friend?
Yes, sir. It is me. It is me.
All right. We're about to move to the NBA. Got a couple sound bites here I want to talk about. Series are getting pretty good in the NBA right now. Utah got blown the heck out by the Spurs a day or so ago. And Mr. Harris, the point guard, said, well, this is the type of game you just forget about and go to the next game. Jerry's Knicks were looking good, and then they got beat. I don't know what to say about them. The Knicks are the Knicks. Sorry, Jerry, but that's your team.
yeah, the Knicks are a fraud. They're a fraud every single season.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Let's talk about Rajon Rondo and those Boston Celtics and the return of Ray Allen. Pretty much they won in overtime, but I believe the previous game, Rajon Rondo, or after this game, Rajon Rondo had stated they won the series without them, so Atlanta's going to be a cinch. Pretty much something to that effect. I don't know if he should be talking like that, but here's Doc Rivers on them, the Celtics, that is, winning in overtime.
I was really worried going into overtime, just looking at Paul, Kevin and Rondo, they didn't look that fresh. And honestly, I looked at their other team. They looked pretty bad, too. So that made me feel a little better.
So the big three in Boston, looking their age, worried their coach. I mean, come on, guys. What's the deal with Boston? Do they have what it takes? And do they have the inside track now that the Bulls are without Rose and might be eliminated. Do they have the inside track to the East Championship?
They have an inside track of getting their AARP cards. That team is old, man.
Very.
That team is old. They look like the Dallas Mavericks over in the West.
Yes. This is the last hurrah for the big three. And maybe the last hurrah for Rajon Rondo in Boston, too, because he's starting to wear his welcome out doing these crazy antics. So this is the last hurrah, and Black's dead on with the membership because I have one in the AARP. And I'm proud of being an AARP member. Championship, don't discount the Bulls just yet, but Boston, if they get to the finals with the Miami Heat, and I'm not saying the Miami Heat's going to get to the finals, but it looks like they have a good track to do that. Miami Heat should be going to the championship. I know we're talking about the East first, and I probably want to talk about the West, but
yeah, we are.
Yeah, I think they have an inside track. Let me put it that way. I mean, who else is going to stop them?
Well, I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you right now because I brought up the Bulls. Without Rose, the 76ers look pretty daggone good. Pretty daggone good. And I think it's going to be a very good matchup because I believe the Bulls are going to lose this series. And here's Doug Collins on the pep talk he gave his team when the 76ers defeated the Bulls.
Doug Collins, come back.
I told him Michael Jordan, the greatest thing I ever learned from Michael Jordan in coaching and being around all the years, was he said, greatness has no consequence. There is no consequence. Shoot the ball, you miss it, get back, and you play. And that's what I want to instill on our guys. And somehow we fought back.
So, quoting the magnificent Michael Jordan, Doug Collins peps up his group. And not saying that the Bulls are not a good team without Rose, because they managed to do pretty well during the regular season, I believe for 13 or 20 games without Rose. But the playoffs is a different animal. And the 76ers... they're not a bad team. They started out on fire at the beginning of the year, and they tailed off towards the end. And another sleeper team that I like in the East might not go too far because I think they're going to play the Heat next, are the Pacers. The Pacers are pretty good, too, but give me an assessment, you guys, on those two teams. Well, those four teams, the Pacers and I forgot who they're playing. The Pacers and Orlando, as well as Chicago and the 76ers.
Orlando's terrible. Orlando's terrible. That Coach K offense is not going to work. It's not going to lead to any championships. Philly is a young mug. I like Bill Collins. I wish he was still back in D.C., but that's just me. Philly has a young team.
Yes.
What were the other two teams you named?
Indiana.
Chicago and Indy.
Indiana, they're a young team as well. No superstars really on any of these teams. They just play together. They play the sport like you're how it's supposed to play, team basketball.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to echo what Black is saying. You got two young teams, two young inexperienced teams, and that's the key, inexperienced in the playoffs, Indiana and the 76ers, going against the one of them plays Boston, one of them plays Miami, you're going to get a lot of experience. If they happen to get past Orlando for one, and the Sixers happen to get past Chicago for another, you're talking about two inexperienced teams going to play two experienced teams. Youth will serve early, experience will serve late. Let me put it that way. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, I agree with you guys to an extent because you can look at Oklahoma. They're very youthful, and they're putting the more experienced Mavericks, the world champs, on the ropes and about to knock them out. So, I mean, it all depends on how that youth works well, as you both said, as a team. And I like the fact that Black said they're playing basketball in a team sport the way it's supposed to be played. It's not an individual star or two guys on a team that carry it. It's a very group-oriented team on all four teams, actually. Even though, you know, Chicago has the better set of players and this, that, and the third, but you got to think about it. If a system and a group of guys buy into it, you can win. I just want to put it out there. I think you can win. Well, I just thought I'd bring that up.
And
let's travel.
And Oklahoma is a perfect example of what you just said.
Exactly. You know, but that youth, it's got to be seasoned. It's got to be pointed in the right direction. And Oklahoma, I think they're pointing in the right direction, and they're going to prove it. Even though the Spurs are the number one team out there, I believe, you got a couple of good teams out there in the West that we're about to talk about in a second. And there's a mixture of veteran teams versus youthful teams. And one of the veteran teams right now happened to drop a game to a more youthful team. But it was only one game. We're talking about the L.A. Lakers. They lost to the Grizzlies. And here's what Kobe had to say. Let me just let Kobe Bryant talk about the D that was in Denver.
Well, I wasn't on my sweet spots. You know, they tried to do some things defensively. They tried to keep me more in the perimeter. I wasn't in the post a lot, which, you know, I basically lived at the post and at the elbow for the first two games. We got away from that a little bit in the second half. And Powell's, well, you know, more in the perimeter. You saw him in the perimeter way too much. And, you know, we can't do that. We got to kind of stick to our ground and pound game.
So the Grizz took him out of their comfort zone, so to speak. And I don't think the Grizz are going to win the series. I really don't. So that's not a concern of mine. But the Grizz is their youthful team. Mayo, Gasol, what's Junior's name? I can't remember his daggone name. His father used to coach the Spurs, and he was in a drug rehab guy. I can't remember his name. Conley. Well, that's not his father, but you got Mike Conley Jr. there. You got, God dang it, I can't remember the coach, the black ball-headed coach that used to coach with the Spurs and a couple other teams. Lucas. You have Lucas. Thank you. John Lucas Jr. Well, the third is on that team as well. And they're fighting, maybe not this year, but give them a year or two with Mayo, and they'll be a contender like Oklahoma, in my opinion. But real quick, guys, what do you think about the West, and particularly the Lakers, and their chances of actually stealing the West? I'm going to go Black, then Jerry.
The Lakers have a very good chance when you're playing with the Black Mamba. You never doubt a champion. Never can doubt a champion. I wouldn't discount the Lakers or the Spurs.
Okay. Jerry?
And that length of L.A.
Mm-hmm.
is going to start to be a problem once Andrew Bynum really gets it all together.
Yeah, he's proven that he can actually play the game if they run the game through him. I mean, that's what it's looking like. But go ahead, Jerry.
I still like the Oklahoma City Thunder, man. The Lakers, because of their length, will give them problems. But I think the overall team, I like Oklahoma. I have to eat my words on Mr. Westbrook. He's played well this whole season. I admit it. If I'm wrong, I admit it. Mr. Westbrook has done his thing for the whole year and into the playoffs, so I can't see it changing. And I'll have to eat my words. He's the one of the big three at Oklahoma, along with Kevin Durant and Hardy. So those guys are doing their thing, defense and offense. They're going to be a tough out. Dallas is old, and Oklahoma is showing that to the whole world. And Mark Cuban is having fits on the sidelines. Fits.
Yeah, he is. He sure is. Ladies and gentlemen, we have about 1 minute left of live air. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to we're going to overtime just briefly, maybe 5 minutes or so. But I want to thank all my guys for coming on today. My cousin Mike Black from D.C. doing his thing as well, getting ready for the Cotto fight. Want to wish Jerry a happy birthday.
Thank
58
you.
58 years old today. More like he's 60, but it is. And Jason Worth just hit a three-run home run, giving the Nationals a three-run home run to the Phillies. I want to love up on Jerry real quick because he's very important to me as well as this show. So I wish you a great deal more birthdays. And
thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Hopefully I get to see you when I return back to my home area in Black. I want to know if you and your fam want to come out to the Six Flags thing when I return with my family. So hit me up. I haven't gotten a response from any of you guys. I want to know so I can get the tickets. Guys don't have to play.
What day is it?
It's going to be the 29th. It's a Saturday. So we're going to have to run a show. We're not going to be live that day.
December, January?
June.
Oh, June.
Yeah. Yes.
Let me check the calendar and I'll give you a confirmation.
Hey, I checked my calendar already. June 29th, I'm in.
All right, brother. I'll make sure how many tickets you're going to need and all that other stuff, and hit me up on email, because my sister-in-law works for a school in Texas, and she's going to try to get us all free tickets.
June 29th, I'm in. Me,
all
myself,
right.
And I.
Okay, you don't want to bring the wife, your mom, so she can help you with your drafting, nothing?
My wife, already after she's not in, I'm in.
All right. That works for me, brother, man. That works. Get to see the old guy. I forgot to ask Jeff on Thursday night. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you need to listen to Thursday night's show with myself and Jeff. We had Dr. Raymond Solano come on, and Mac, one of our new hosts, came on as well. It was a very good show. Dr. Solano talked in depth about his practice and what he does. He actually is the team doctor for the DC Divas football team. He also works with the NFL and volleyball and stuff like that. So we're going to have him back on June 2nd to discuss, injuries and things of that nature that go on in the world of baseball, basketball, football, hockey, lacrosse, and things of that nature. Hopefully we'll have some specific athlete questions for him, because he's going to also talk to us about his some of his current patients that come to see him.
Let me tell you something. That Williams and Taylor, No Chaser show?
Yeah.
Absolute fireworks.
I'm about to get to that. I'm about to get to that, Black. I can see it's going to happen, too. Once I get a date and time, the proposed date is a Friday. I don't know the time yet, but once I get it, it's going to be off the chain, because Mac, right now, I can see it's going to be Opie and Andy time
on that
show.
Oh, yeah. I told you I'm anxious to get the brother from whose mother on that show, because he's coming from the right, I'm coming from the left, and we swinging.
I know. So once we get that, we're going to, confirm a date and time. And if I can get a set of music to intro the show, I'll do it. If I can't, maybe you guys can create something, and we'll make it happen. Other than that, I want to say check out the Master Plan on Sundays at 10 a.m. And this Sunday, the ATM will be discussing...
I will be discussing the fight. In fact, I'll probably be discussing the whole card, because I'm going to be locked in. As long as I'm sober, I'm going to be locked into this fight.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to be discussing.
That will last all the better 2 seconds.
Oh, man.
I'm going to be locked in and discussing the fight. I'm also discussing some NBA and whatever else hits my mind at the moment. You never know what I'm going to talk about, because I can go all anyway. So just tune in.
A hand down, man down situation tonight.
Oh, Lord. Hand down, man down. Okay. All right. Okay, then on Tuesdays, ladies and gentlemen, we have Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun. Again, she's a totally different take on what we do, totally different.
Great show.
Great show, great host. She's a very thoughtful and inspiring person, and she shares that with the world, and it's showing in her numbers, that she's reaching a lot of folks. So I'm hoping that we can continue that, and everybody else in the world listens to her, because she's pretty daggone hot when it comes to her topics. Then on Thursdays, we have
the FSP Crew Show,
hosted by your ATM Jerry Taylor, co-hosted by Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie. Do we have any special guests coming on this Thursday, Black?
I'm not sure yet, but I'm sure something will pop up.
All right. We do a lot of things here. We are a big family. We love to share the love with everyone else. I'm hoping to see each and every last one of you guys when I make my trip to D.C. in the next coming months.
Oh, you'll see me.
Great. So that means we're definitely not going to have a show, because we're not going to be able to host it.
Right.
But I want to just, you know, tell you guys thank you very much from the bottom of my heart, and I love you all. And to you guys, the listeners, we're almost at 60,000 listens, and we've been doing this for 3 or 4 years. So the numbers are there. I want somebody to buy this from us so bad I can just taste it. I want to make each and last one of my guys a millionaire. I really do. So sponsors out there, get with us. If you want to buy our program, get with us. But you got to, you know, every man has a price, and my price is getting my guys their millions. So we're going to get there. Other than that, I want to thank Blog Talk Radio for having us and keeping us going. We haven't gone anywhere yet, but if we find something better, Blog Talk, I'm sorry, I'm going to jump ship. Just being honest. But don't mess with my show now. You're still getting your money. So, with that being said, Jerry, you know what I need.
From Black, Mikhail Hoop, for his short stint, for that caller who called in, for Vic and myself, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.